a regulatory onslaught that is likely going to sweep them into this.
Congressman Andy Barr tells the CEO of Wells Fargo the banking scandal is going to hurt all financial institutions, including those in his Kentucky district.
A Mount Sterling man is accused in Iowa homicide.
And Moorhead is still hoping to land a federal grant for a new fire truck.
In sports, the Vikings hope to stay unbeaten tonight as they host the Giants in Minnesota.
But Luke has the stocks.
And mostly clear this evening with lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast after this news.
The Mount Sterling Advocate is reporting that the 35-year-old Montgomery County man is awaiting extradition to Iowa to be charged with a homicide in Council Bluffs. Arthur Crum of Mount Sterling is said to have confessed to the killing of Larry Scott while in custody at the Montgomery County Jail. Scott was shot several times in the face and abdomen, and police in Iowa say his body was found August 30th along a roadside. Crum was arrested in Camargo last week on a domestic violence complaint brought by his mother. He was already a suspect in the Council Bluffs shooting and reportedly admitted to it while being questioned in the Mount Sterling lockup.
One person is dead following a car crash in Magoffin County. WSAZ reports that Ellis Rourke was traveling west on Route 11 yesterday afternoon when he lost control of his truck and struck a rock embankment. 53-year-old Leah Gross was a passenger in the truck. She was pronounced dead by the Magoffin County coroner. Evidence suggests that Gross was not wearing her seatbelt. Alcohol does not seem to be a factor in the accident.
According to the Ashland Post of the Kentucky State Police, there have been 6 traffic fatalities in its 4-county service region through the first 9 months of this year. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
Trooper Michael Muriel says that includes one traffic death in Lawrence County in September. He says 4 of those killed this year died in Boyd County. Muriel says there were 10 fatalities in the post-14 region during the same period last year. Statewide, police say there have been 579 persons killed in traffic crashes across Kentucky so far this year. That compares with 542 for the same period in 2015. The post-14 area includes Boyd, Greenup, Carter, and Lawrence counties. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A 36-year-old Ashland man is facing charges of rape, prohibited use of electronic communication systems, and distribution of obscene materials to minors. According to WSAZ, Winston Sexton was taken into custody on Saturday. He's also accused of possessing a firearm by a convicted felon. A criminal complaint against Sexton alleges that he raped a 16-year-old girl. He's held in the Boyd County Detention Center on $10,000 bond.
Ohio says it plans to carry out at least 3 executions next year with a new 3-drug combination. Thomas Madden with the Ohio Attorney General's office told a federal judge today the new execution policy will be announced at the end of the week. The Associated Press was the only media outlet present at the court hearing. The announcement puts the state on track to execute death row inmate Ronald Phillips on January 12th for the rape and murder of his girlfriend's 3-year-old daughter in 1993. Madden said the drugs are not compounded and are FDA approved. Attorneys representing death row inmates say they'll file a new challenge almost immediately. Ohio halted executions in 2015 because of a drug shortage.
A Sunday night fire destroyed a storage building in Maysville. Firefighters from Maysville and Orangeburg arrived at Standard Supply on Lexington Street at 7:30. Within 30 minutes, the building was completely engulfed in flames. While no injuries were reported, it took several hours to contain the blaze. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell says the situation could have been a lot worse.
Luckily, it did not jump to the other warehouses that were very close to it. An old rail bed was right next to it, and that was all that kept it from getting into a brick warehouse next to it.
Cartmell says firefighters were still on the scene through this morning. Authorities are investigating the cause of the blaze.
The Kentucky Division of Forestry expects another active wildfire season as fall restrictions on outdoor burnings have gone into effect. John Kazmierski is the Cumberland District Ranger for the U.S. Forest Service. Kazmierski cautions that campers and visitors to the Daniel Boone National Forest should be aware of the dry condition of fallen leaves on the forest floor, which creates the potential for fires.
Folks should understand that the forest, the leaf litter is dry, and as the leaves begin to fall off the trees, the forest is holding less moisture and it's becoming more susceptible to wildfire.
State law restricts open burning within 150 feet of any woodland or brushland between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. during the fall fire hazard season, which runs until December 15th. There are nearly 1,500 wildfires in Kentucky every year.
Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson still hopes his department will eventually get a key grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Looking to buy a new ladder truck for his department, Anderson says he will apply for a third straight year to FEMA for $1 million in funding from the Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program.
October, I believe, 11th, it opens back up again, and we'll start writing the grant again on for that and apply one more year at least, and then, I think we'll probably start making some discussions with City Council and City Hall about what if this doesn't happen. We may have to go another route.
Anderson says the Moorhead Fire Department's current ladder truck is 34 years old and showing its age. He notes they recently had to do $2,000 worth of repairs to it to keep it roadworthy.
The 16th annual Kentucky Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service will be held Wednesday in Frankfort. The event, which honors those firefighters in the Commonwealth who've been killed in the line of duty, is being sponsored by the Kentucky Firefighters Association. Executive Director Ronnie Day says two more names will be added to the Fallen Firefighters Memorial at this week's service.
We've got Billy Ray Jarvis from Allen Fire Department up in Floyd County, and I've got Zachary Clevenger that was a firefighter in Montgomery County and Estill County.
The wall currently contains 215 names. Wednesday's service begins at 11 a.m.
The Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Committee is awaiting the results of a summer survey sent to local residents that asked them for their ideas for improving the area's recreational programs and facilities. City Parks and Rec Director David Morris is a member of the group. According to Morris, the response to the surveys was very good.
We're a couple thousand people absolutely happy. I mean, we... I think 11,000 copies went out. We hope to have them public by around Thanksgiving.
A marketing class from Moorhead State University is still gathering the surveys and will compile the information on them in the coming weeks.
Congressman Andy Barr says all financial institutions have been scarred by the scandal at Wells Fargo. The Kentucky Republican told the bank's chief executive officer during a hearing in Washington last week that every bank, savings and loan, and credit union in his district will pay a price for the unauthorized actions of Wells Fargo employees.
I think about the community banks and credit unions in my district, and I've talked to many people who work for small institutions in rural Kentucky who are your competitors. And the fact that this scandal has painted a bad picture for the entire banking sector. And frankly, the institutions in my district that are those community banks and credit unions, they don't have your culture.
Barr was referring to Wells Fargo's opening of approximately 2 million customer accounts without their approval and the assessment of fees for those new services.
Democratic candidate for Congress in the 6th District, Nancy Jo Kemper, says incumbent Republican Andy Barr should return the campaign contributions he has taken from Wells Fargo. Kemper appeared Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman.
I believe that as a recipient of over $10,000 of money from Wells Fargo, that he should give that money back because it was money acquired defrauding their customers. And he has been working hard to eliminate the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, to gut it so that it cannot police banks and protect us, the consumers.
Kemper says returning the money would be the moral and ethical thing to do.
The Kentucky Republican Party is distancing itself from a statehouse candidate. Will Clark explains.
State Party Chairman Mack Brown and House Minority Leader Jeff Hoover sent a letter to Dan Johnson asking him to remove himself from the ballot. The candidate for the 49th House District has come under fire for a series of racially charged Facebook posts the party says demonstrate a total disrespect for a number of minority communities. The letter goes on to say Johnson's actions do not reflect the values of the party and all those it represents before making a second request for Johnson to exit the race. I'm Will Clark.
An Eastern Kentucky lawmaker says he'll introduce legislation in 2017 requiring life insurance companies to regularly check death records to find out if policyholders have passed away and make sure beneficiaries are properly compensated. Pike County Democrat Chris Harris says similar legislation passed 4 years ago, but some insurance companies contend the law does not apply to policies sold before 2012. Harris wants to make it clear that it does.
Now, most of these policies were sold in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods. They were sold door-to-door in downtown Louisville or door-to-door in Hollis in eastern Kentucky. And so a lot of these beneficiaries who would stand to gain by the passage of this act, a lot of these beneficiaries don't even know that a policy exists.
Harris thinks some insurance companies are taking advantage of lower-income Kentuckians by declining to pay benefits on policies sold before 2012. Firms associated with Kemper Insurance have argued that they should only have to comb death records for future policyholders, a Kentucky appeals court sided with Kemper.
Ohio's attorney general says he wants to help the state's businesses fight back against cybercrime. Mike DeWine calls the effort Cyber Ohio.
Our Cyber Ohio initiative seeks to create a legal, technical, and collaborative cybersecurity environment to help Ohio's businesses. As part of Cyber Ohio, we are creating a cybersecurity advisory board. The board is composed of industry experts, business leaders, and others who are passionate about the issue of cybersecurity.
DeWine says the new board will provide guidance for the Attorney General and state legislature on steps that can be taken to protect the data and security of Ohio businesses and consumers. He says it will also develop a 2017 summit for businesses focusing on cybersecurity issues.
Morehead State University's Vice President for Student Success says the school will stabilize its declining enrollment and then will build upon it in two ways. First, says Dr. Jason Bentley, MSU will emphasize the unique and best features of its current programs, such as early college and the Craft Academy.
Part two is we have to be very strategic as we start to increase our market presence in new territories. And part of what we have to do is we have to help show why Kentucky is a great opportunity for individuals in terms of their higher ed future, and how do we help others from outside of the state to believe that they can play competitive athletics and get a quality education. They can be a part of groundbreaking science and technology programs at Morehead State University.
Bentley says MSU will step up its recruitment efforts in Ohio and outside its Kentucky service region. Morehead's enrollment is down 4% this fall compared to last year, and its number of first-time freshmen has dropped 12.5%.
And finally, this afternoon, Morehead State University's Fall Career Fair kicks off tomorrow morning. It'll take place in the Laughlin Auditorium from 10 to 1. 98 businesses have registered for this year's fair, a record number, according to Megan Boone. She's a career counselor and employer liaison for MSU's Career Service Center.
We're seeing an increase in the number of organizations that are registering for the career fair, and I think that speaks to the value that these recruiters place on being able to make a personal connection with someone, to be able to look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and get a chance to chat with them a little bit. You know, you hear about networking a lot, and that really is what the career fair is all about.
Boone is encouraging those who attend to dress professionally, make several copies of their resume, and visit moreheadstate.edu/career to research the businesses that will be attending. In addition to MSU students, the event is also open to members of the community.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the area surrounding our listening station, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the mid-50s. Tuesday will be warm and mostly sunny, with highs around 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, with highs around 80 degrees. Thursday will be sunny with highs around 80s, and Friday will be sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Your temperatures for the surrounding area, it's going to be 75 degrees in Ashland right now, 73 in Flemingsburg. Inez is sitting at 75 degrees. It's 72 in Lexington. Winchester is sitting at 74 degrees, and it is currently 73 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a coalition dedicated to building a better rural America is targeting the voices of youth in those areas. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
A nationwide movement aimed at improving the quality of life in rural America, including Kentucky, says it's focused on involving youth. The National Rural Assembly, a coalition of more than 500 organizations, calls its new effort Kids Climate Connection. In a nation with 50 million rural residents, Rural Assembly Chair Dee Davis says some families and communities are disenfranchised by isolation and poverty. He notes in many small towns, adults often say, "I think I'll be okay, but what about the kids?"
We've got to create a different landscape. We have to create more opportunities for rural kids, and we got to put them in a position where they can create their own opportunities.
Davis says the high rate of child poverty has rural America facing, in his words, a lost generation of kids and families, and addressing that problem is key to creating more opportunities for young people. Kate Fowler oversees a youth media program in the Appalachian region of Kentucky. She says while teens and young adults are aware of their region's background, they display a sense of agility.
I see a lot of hopefulness. We talk about hope a lot when we do our programming. And I think that young folks are really looking forward, and a lot of the young people we're working with are hoping to stay here. So there's a lot of like imagining what is possible, what could come next.
Davis, who lives in Kentucky, says the big challenge is creating innovative business opportunities that will make a difference.
More and more what we're seeing is jobs are portable. People are going to live where they want to live. Your employment's going to be in the laptop you carry. It's important that we begin to reimagine rural communities so that young people have a real opportunity to make a difference there.
Thus, the Assembly's link between kids, climate, and connection. Davis says rural America offers a wealth of climate solutions, including wind and solar energy, while broadband-starved rural communities need better connection to the global economy. Fowler believes many young adults, if provided opportunities, may go away to school but will return to invest in Appalachia.
Because they really feel a sense of cultural identity in their home that they don't feel in other places. A lot of young people are really engaged in the arts and technology, and there have been a lot of young people who are thinking very strategically about how to build those things here since the overhead cost is really, really low.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in just a minute.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Monday in Minnesota. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Minnesota Vikings host the New York Giants in Monday Night Football. With a preview, here's MSPR's Kenzie Thompson.
The 2-1 Giants will visit the 3-0 Vikings at their new U.S. Bank Arena. The star running back Adrian Peterson gone, the Vikings have used their defense and special teams to spark their success. Minnesota hopes Jerick McKinnon can fill Peterson's shoes. So far, though, he's rushed for just 53 yards this season. The Vikings will also have to find a way to stop Giants quarterback Eli Manning and his outstanding wideouts Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, and Odell Beckham Jr. The contest kicks off at 8:30. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Brown starting center Austin Reeder tore a ligament in his left knee against Washington and is out for the season. Reeder's injury is the latest significant one for Cleveland, which has lost seven starters. Reeder was the team's third center to start this season. He was filling in for John Greco, who moved back to the right guard after Jackson benched Alvin Bailey for Sunday's 31-20 loss. Greco replaced starter Cam Irving, who suffered a bruised lung in the opener and remains sidelined. Coach Hugh Jackson said Greco will likely move back to center. UK football is looking to get back in the win column against a struggling Vanderbilt team. Will Clark reports.
Coach Mark Stoops is taking the positives from Kentucky's 34-6 loss at top-ranked Alabama and is using them to motivate his team going into homecoming against the Commodores.
It's all about wins and losses, but you know, you look at yourself and you look at what we did on all sides and the good things that we did, and you have to build on that.
Junior Steven Johnson will be the starting quarterback for the Cats for the third week in a row, and Stoops says Dorian Baker will be back this week as well. I'm Will Clark.
After stellar effort in Saturday's 29-26 win over Valparaiso, Morehead State's Colt Briggs has been named the Pioneer Football League's Defensive Player of the Week. The junior defensive end had 10 tackles, including 4 for losses. He credits his teammates for the honor.
Personal stats look good at the end of the year, but as you're playing the game, everyone fits out their gap. And, you know, a lot of those tackles are because other people are doing their job. You know, someone runs outside, they bring it back to me, and, you know, it's my tackle, but we all know when we watch film who really made the play.
Saturday's win boosted MSU to 2-3 overall and 1-1 in conference. The Eagles visit Dayton on Saturday. Even though the 2016 season just ended Sunday, Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price is looking forward to 2017. The Reds announced on Friday that Price would return to the team's dugout next year, despite a 2016 campaign that saw them finish at 68-94. Rebuilding Cincy did play nearly 500 ball for the second half of the year, and Price thinks they're close to turning the corner.
And I'd like to see it through. You know, I think it's sometimes when you go through a rebuild, there's a lot of casualties along the way. And I don't want to be one of those. I want to be the one that survives the rebuild and sees us not just start to turn the corner as we have in the second half of the season, but be here when we're fully on the other side and challenging for divisions again and World Series.
The Reds ended the season yesterday with a 7-4 loss to the Cubs at Great American Ballpark. Mark McGwire is getting another swing at the Hall of Fame. The former slugger who admitted to using steroids joins Bud Selig, George Steinbrenner, and 7 others on the Today Game era ballot to be considered for election to Cooperstown in December. The announcement was made today by the Baseball Hall of Fame. The ballot is part of changes to the election process announced by the Hall's Board of Directors in July. It includes 5 players, 3 executives, and 2 managers who made their biggest impact from 1988 on. Harold Baines, Albert Bell, Will Clark, Oral Hershiser, Davey Johnson, Lou Piniella, and John Schuerholz round out the class of 2017 candidates on the new ballot. The Morehead State men's basketball team will make a couple of appearances on ESPNU this season. The Eagles' home game against Belmont on January 12th will be aired by the network, as well as their game on February 16th at Tennessee State. Coach Sean Woods says being picked to get national exposure is a good indicator of where his program is.
Well, it is. You know, it just lets you know that people are noticing us, and, you know, we're becoming an attractive commodity around the country as far as the majors are concerned. And we just want to continue to see the sizzle and continue to get better at promoting Morehead State men's basketball.
The Eagles won 23 games last season and advanced into the championship round of the CBI, where they lost to Nevada. And finally, this afternoon, Morehead State soccer coach Warren Lipka is calling yesterday's 1-1 tie with Tennessee Tech the Eagles' best performance of the season. Lipka liked the aggressiveness his players showed, along with the way they possessed the ball, which is something that he's been stressing in practice.
If the early options aren't on, we've got to keep the ball. We can't just keep on playing a big ball all the time because, one, you lose possession, two, our strikers get tired. You know, so we got to possess it and build, and you know, we show the areas where we want to protect, where we want to build, and what we want to attack. And like I said, it's a young group that is now, I think, it's starting to catch on for them.
At 3-8-2 now, overall, the Soccer Eagles will entertain SIU Edwardsville on Thursday night. That's it for sports. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle volleyball and soccer are home this weekend. Volleyball hosts Belmont at 7 p.m. Friday and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. Saturday. Soccer will host Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower opening the trading, or I should say on the first trading day of the fourth quarter, as investors digested key economic news and kept an eye on oil prices. And at the close, the Dow had a modest loss of 54.3 at 18,253.85. The S&P 500 was down 7.07 at 2161.2. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 11.13 at 5300.87. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 3-2 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The September Market Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index came in at 51.5, which was a three-month low. And the ISM Manufacturing Index for September came in at 51.5, and this was up from 49.4 in the previous month. Construction spending fell 0.7% in August, with analysts expecting a 0.2% increase. Also, Nissan reported their U.S. auto sales rose almost 5% in September, which beat expectations. Ford reported a loss of 8%, which was still better than what was expected. Toyota, meanwhile, missed estimates, rising just 1.5%. General Motors sales fell 0.6%, which was better than expected. Crude prices rose broadly today, with U.S. oil futures settling 1.2% higher at $48.81 a barrel, supported by a planned production cut by exporter group OPEC, although analysts cautioned a stubborn supply overhang could temper a longer-lasting rally. Brent prices broke above $50, hitting their highest level since August. Overseas European stocks closed mostly flat as investors kept an eye on Deutsche Bank and the U.K. process to leave the European Union. U.S.-listed shares of Deutsche Bank traded almost 2% lower, with no official deal being announced with the DOJ. And British Prime Minister Theresa May said yesterday she'd start the Brexit process in the early part of 2017, a process which is expected to take about 2 years to complete. The British pound fell about 1% against the dollar in trading today. U.S. Treasuries were mostly lower, with yields up. The two-year yield finished with a yield of just under 0.8%, and the benchmark 10-year note yield hovered around 1.62%. And in gold markets, gold futures for December delivery fell $4.40 an ounce, settling at $1,312.70. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were DuPont and United Technologies. Your worst performers, Travelers and Procter & Gamble. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Cognizant Technology and News Corporation, and your worst performers were Transocean and Centene. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.28 at $114.67, CSX down 7 cents at $30.43, AEP down 71 cents at $63.50, Marathon Petroleum up 35 cents at $40.94, AK Steel up 12 cents at $4.95, and Community Trust Bank was down 61 cents, finishing at $36.50. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the UK College of Public Health, with a reminder to parents to ensure the health of your child by offering a healthy diet and regular doctor checkups, including vaccines. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common cancer-causing virus. The CDC recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for all boys and girls ages 11 to 26. Total Care Pharmacy at 206 West Main Street in Moorhead is now offering the vaccine with no appointment needed. More information at 784-4491.
Taking a look at your weather for tonight, it's going to be mostly clear with lows in the mid-50s, and tomorrow will be warm and mostly sunny, highs around 80 degrees.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.
The New York Attorney General has ordered the Donald J. Trump Foundation to immediately stop all fundraising in the state.
The AG says the foundation failed to register before soliciting contributions.
From Monday, October